6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. We get the soundboard on there. There we go. Yes.
There we go.
Yes. Brandon Henson over there on the ones and twos, doing 90,000 things right now.
And it's my fourth day straight on this weird body clock, so I apologize ahead of time.
How are you holding up, man? Be honest.
I'm doing
it's okay.
Better than we're in a trust probably tree. Tuesday, but yeah. We're still, you know, had to get the nap in yesterday.
Yep.
And yeah, we're hanging on.
So Tuesday was the harder day for you?
Yeah, I would say that was probably the hardest. That one's probably hit the hardest so far as my tiredness.
Yeah, yeah. Usually when you do this, you have, it's like sometimes it's the most random, like your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, and you're like, oh my God, the week's almost over. I have Thursday, Friday. And you could even get decent sleep on Wednesday night going into Thursday. And for whatever the reason, it could just be the most random Thursday. You wake up and it just crushes you. And you go, oh, dude, not right now. Yeah. No. For you, that was Tuesday.
Yeah, I would say so.
Are you going to be in tomorrow? Do you know if that's happening?
I don't know yet. Swag hasn't texted me or anything, so.
Swag has only given us
one. I still expect
one,
Swag to be here tomorrow.
He's only given us one text being out all week. And it was good news about his dad.
Okay, good.
But it was basically update on dad health. That was it. We all kind of responded. Haven't heard from him. So
I will double check after the show and make sure that somebody is here tomorrow.
Well, I assume you're going to be in, actually. That's kind of my.
Okay, let's assume that.
That's where my mentals are going.
Let's keep this Brandon takeover going for one.
An all Brandon show. How about this? A first in my career. I've never just had an all Brandon show. Dirt is out today. I don't think that's shocking if you tuned in yesterday at any one point or you
the
saw on the YouTube.
Were flying yesterday.
Dude. I'm going to kind of defend the YouTube audience here that we're giving him a lot of grief. So if you were watching on the YouTubes yesterday, thank you, as always. But he was like multiple times from about 7 to the end of the show, like during segments, having to blow his nose. And I look over here and I heard it the day before. He came in, I could tell he wasn't quite right. And then we start doing the show. And if you're not feeling quite right, but then you have to do a radio show, it just all starts to, you know, show itself. And so I'm like the whole time, I'm like, just don't get me sick. And then like I had to leave the studio a couple commercial breaks and I'm doing whatever I can to not even touch the door handle. I'm like, ugh, I want nothing to do with what he has. It looks awful. And I just knew that he wasn't going to be in today. I like looked at him. He was borderline crying because of how like congested his nose was. And I'm seeing him get water after the show. And I tell you and I tell him, I'm like, dude, 4:30, this cat is going to text, sorry, boys, I'll see you Friday.
Yep.
And it was 2 hours late, but 6:30, we get the text. You guys knew the text was coming. He looked terrible. I don't know what he has, if that's a cold, is it the flu? I couldn't tell because he kept talking about his body heat being off. I'm like, what do you have? And it's also kind of funny to give you a backstory real quick here, Brandon. So I was the first one in the show to have kids. I had kids at a really young age.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going through a lot of experiences as a very young dad, like the kids one, the kids two. And lucky for me, I didn't really catch a whole lot from the kiddo. But I knew that like how much more you are open to the germ world with these rugrats.
Right.
And he, at the time, being a couple years younger than even me, he's even younger, and he's just like, maybe you should eat food off the floor more often. Yeah, I have the system of a gladiator. Just cocky sniffing his way that he is like the most indestructible human being to ever exist. And I just always laughed at it. Now he has a kid,
yep,
and this is like the fourth or fifth time he's gotten sick just in like the last 4 months.
Yeah, your immune system literally deteriorates as the longer you become you're a father.
Yeah.
Like, I have a four-year-old and two-year-old. The two-year-old right now has a runny nose. Like I literally had to wipe her nose probably every 20 10-20 minutes.
So you're on deck. You're on deck is what you're telling me.
Either me or my wife. Yep, one of us is going to go down. And it can't really go. It can't really be either of us because my wife has a opera opening night coming up tomorrow, and I have to do work the rest of the weekend, so we can't both be out.
Wait a minute. Are we bearing the lead here? You, your wife is an opera singer?
She is a magnificent singer, and she just started doing a community opera. I think it started a couple months ago, and their opening night is tomorrow.
Damn.
So
you're – okay, so I don't know if you know this. Swag's wife also does, like, community theater.
Okay.
So she does, like, a lot of plays locally.
Yep.
And then on the side, she's, you know, I think she's always trying to, you know, be in a TV commercial or maybe get an opportunity. Like, she went to Seattle not long ago for a role. So, like, I didn't know if you knew that about him and his wife.
No.
Because it sounds like your wife is doing the same thing just in the
opera.
She's
starting it up. It's kind of just more of a hobby thing.
No doubt.
Just kind of do something to get out of the house, because when you're a parent, you seek those ways, to get yourself out of the house. And
you don't want to go crazy.
For me, it's golfing, but that hasn't happened in probably 6 months.
You haven't golfed in 6 months?
Yeah, one, because of the weather, and two, because I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Are you a good golfer?
I was.
Oh, okay. So you're a good golfer.
So yeah, I did all 4 years of high school on the golf team.
Okay.
It kind of just kept it as a hobby after. I was never good. I mean, in high school, I was shooting like 48 on 9. Like, I wasn't that good of a golfer. I would say I got better.
That's breaking 100, by the way.
I know it's still under 100, which I'm sure a lot of people would take. But yeah, I got better. I would say my best was, you know, 3 to 5 over par on a full round.
Okay.
But it's slowly deteriorated as I've had to care for children.
Yeah.
And the gap between rounds has significantly stretched itself out. So I still got the sticks around the garage. They're waiting to get going here. Spring and summer are right around the corner, starting this weekend. So we'll get out there eventually.
Okay. Now, what area of town are you in?
So I'm Beaverton, north of Beaverton, that pocket of
that in between
Portland.
Hillsboro and Beaverton.
Yeah, it's like northwest Portland, so it's that kind of Cedar Mill, Bethany area that's still called Portland, but it's
the farthest west you can be.
That's still that called Portland.
That is a very odd area,
like
not that
Park area.
It's beautiful.
It's
great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I have family over there. It's just always odd to me to be that far west, and then like a 2-second drive almost. It's like, hey, we're in Beaverton.
Yes.
But you look at the thing and it's like Portland.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you're
what?
In that pocket of Hillsboro, Beaverton, and Portland, but you're called Portland because
Because of lines.
Right.
Imaginary lines that none of us can see.
Right.
We gotta get you on the golf course. I didn't know you were a stick man.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I hear all of you guys talking about it and I'm like, maybe one day we can all get ourselves out there.
Dirt used to be a really good stick. Like, I was with Dirt when he broke par.
Mm.
He shot 1 under out at Stone Creek, and I it was awesome to watch that. But since he's had a kid, he's in the same boat. Like, he'll golf, and then he won't golf for like 4 months.
Yep.
And then he'll golf again. And so the scores are going all over the place. And he goes from being like pretty consistently a really good golfer to probably
you
still
act
okay.
Like you can't hit a golf ball anymore.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I'm
moments.
At this point. Like I'm hitting duffs left and right. I'm just like, what has happened to me?
Yeah, I just don't have a kid excuse. I'm just a terrible golfer.
Right.
But I like to be out there. I like to be included.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just there for the vibes.
You're there for the vibes and the drinks.
Hit a couple good shots.
Sure.
Sink a long putt and feel good about myself.
Do something to tell a story about later, right?
Like, hey, man, I'm capable of getting birdies. I haven't put the work in, but I'm capable. That's the kind of golf life that I'm living. But, yeah, so Dirt is going to be out today, and it's just unfortunate timing because of the two of us. He's also the Duck alum.
Yep.
And yesterday, the Oregon Ducks got massive news on the national recruiting landscape.
Of course they did.
Their spring games this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and so I was going to try to get a duck guest on early in the week on Thursday's show, and then he just happens to catch the bug, and so he's out today, and so we're going to have to talk about the big commitment of one Will Mensel, and then Ryan Clark is going to hop on the show with us at 7:30, and we'll talk about that commitment, what it means, what it says about Dan Lanning to this number one quarterback in the class of 2027. just having that moment, and then also maybe a little bit of a peekaboo of the Oregon spring game, which is going to be this weekend, which Dirt says he was going to go to, but now I'm not so sure. Because I don't even know if he's going to be in tomorrow.
Right.
I know he wants to be. I know we got Blazer playoff game to get to. I know he wants to share his thoughts on Oregon stuff because he is a spring sicko. But the way he looked yesterday, I don't know if only one day is going to solve that.
It better be like a 12-hour sleep plus a two-hour nap and some heavy drugs to come back from that.
I think he's going to be heavy on the DayQuil.
Yes.
Some people don't believe in taking the Quil, but I'm a big Quil guy.
Do. Yes.
Give me some NyQuil. Give me some DayQuil. You know, I always have to double over the instructions of like, how many hours do I got to really wait before I can take this next dose?
Yeah.
What am I doing? Am I tempting the medicine gods here? So we got a lot to get to today. It is a very loaded show. It is your first time doing the Magic Hat.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
And you've told me that you have personal things that you want to throw in there, which I'm excited about.
If we are fortunate enough to get down that alley, then so be it.
Oh, we will. Trust me, we
one
will.
One way or another.
I got some stuff that I want to get to in the Magic Hat, but we're definitely going to touch on all things Brandon Henson's life. So we'll get to that. Magic Hat in the 9 a.m. hour. As I mentioned, Ryan Clark at 7:30. Happy NFL Draft Day, everybody. A lot to discuss in the NFL Draft, which is tonight. We have the NBA playoffs, college football, news and notes, not even just Oregon. We got stuff outside of the city of Eugene to discuss as well. So it's a loaded show. Thanks for hanging with us. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague on a Thursday edition on 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Hanging out with you this Thursday morning. Brandon Sprague in. Andy Dirt Johnson is out. Hanging with Brandon Henson. An all Brandon edition of Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan, Portland sports leader. Hope your Thursday commute is okay. Seemed relatively calm on my way in. So, and the weather's supposed to turn. So we went from like drizzling all day to potentially sunshine. The NBA playoffs, we talked a lot about the Blazers, their Game 2 win on the road at San Antonio. We'll get into a lot of the Game 3 stuff. Got a little Blazers on the show sheet today. We got a big teaser, big old Blazer teaser yesterday, getting a lot of people hot and bothered. So we'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour. But looking around the other series in the NBA playoffs is not something we did yesterday. We didn't talk much about the Lakers-Rockets. Lakers are up 2-0 in that series.
Right.
And some of these series I don't think people are really all that interested in. We'll talk about Oklahoma City-Phoenix because a development came out of that series yesterday in the third quarter that we must discuss.
Mm-hmm.
But in looking at yesterday's games, because it wasn't the sexiest one, the good matchups are tonight. We've got the Atlanta Knicks, got Minnesota, Denver, and that's going to be your neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day. What will you watch more of this evening, the NBA playoffs or the NFL draft? We will put that poll question up at Dirt and Sprague. Your neighborhood restaurant group brings the fan poll question on X every day. And dinner tonight at one of the five locations, Sandy O's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lorehurst Market. That's the one you're going to vote on. What do you think you're going to vote on there?
Easy answer.
Playoffs or NFL draft?
NBA.
Really?
NBA, yeah. I feel like the draft after, I mean, especially this draft where I feel like it's more about what trades happen than what players are picked, in my opinion. I'm sure that might be different. I think especially yesterday what we heard that some of the players and where teams are going to pick are interesting. But for me,
it's not a sexy draft.
It's not a sexy draft.
So defense, offensive lineman, cornerback,
receiver,
that's not very exciting versus – hey, we got like three or four quarterbacks in this thing. Where are they going to land?
Yeah, I think it's just more interesting about which teams are going to decide to trade out than who they're actually going to decide. And for me, that's not as interesting. I feel like that's something I can just check on my phone.
Versus having it on the main screen.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with Prime, those having the games tonight and not able to multi-view those games.
Right.
I'm probably going to have NBA on the big TV and
just
keep eyes on the draft as it goes along.
The funny thing is, I mentioned like Hawks, Knicks, and I think there's like a decent chunk of people that are just like, yeah, okay. It's like the NFL, man, you know? And
yeah, I get the other side of it too.
I'm absolutely with you. I'm probably going to have the NBA on the main with the Prime, but I'm going to bust out the iPad. I'm not going to use the phone. I'll bust out the iPad for the NFL draft. I said it at the start that it wasn't exciting, it wasn't sexy, and I know that's not fair to the other positions, but it just is more interesting with more quarterbacks. What I'm finding more fascinating as time has gone on, and I continue to just dive into the mocks, got Matt Miller's latest mock that I want to get through some of that today. Mm-hmm. It's just the, you talk about who's going to trade back. Is anybody going to want to trade up?
Right.
Right? Like, there's a lot of talk that the Cowboys might want to trade up. Okay, maybe that's the team that gets somebody to move back. But there's a lot of intel and buzz. The Cardinals don't want to stay at three because they really want to draft an offensive lineman. But basically, if they can't get out of three because nobody wants to trade them to get to three, they might just take Jeremiah Love as out of excitement. And I'm like,
right.
So you're going to draft somebody out of just excitement, even though you want an offensive lineman, but you think the value play for offensive lineman at three is just wrong? So I think there's elements of the draft. And then you got the Giants with two picks in the top 10. And is anybody the back end? Who's going to slip? Is it going to be Sadiq? Is he going to slip to the 20s? Is Thieneman going to slip? So we have local angles there. And then you add Reuben Bain. He's got short arms. And so I hear you. I think you're probably right. But I've gotten more excited for the NFL draft now that it's here tonight. But in answering the neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day, I'm probably going to have the NBA playoffs on the main screen.
Yeah, I think, and since, and I've been such on an NBA run the last three, four nights, it's hard to kind of flip the switch and be like, oh, I'm going to watch the draft for 2 hours and try to keep an eye on.
Yeah, 2 hours.
Hawks,
I mean, or, like four.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. See, that's how out of it I am sometimes, especially with very unsexy drafts like this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll definitely be hooping it up tonight.
So I'm curious, last night, if you're hooping it up, if you're NBA playoff guy, last night was a night for me. So I had basketball practice out of Meadow Park. The thing for me is I don't find, even though Orlando, I think, actually can win the series based on what we've seen in two games. And I know Detroit, they went on that huge third quarter, what was it, 36-6 run or whatever it was?
It was 30-3 to start the
second half. 30-3 to start the second half is an insane run. Even though Detroit ended up pulling away because of that run, I still take away from that series, like, I didn't think Orlando played very well, and they were right within striking distance until that huge run.
For sure.
It's not the most exciting thing to say out loud. The Magic and Piston series is super exciting. The other series is Phoenix and Oklahoma City. And if you don't have a technical foul weirdly called by the request of one team, I just don't know if anybody cares about that series whatsoever.
Right.
Even in the Phoenix area, I don't know if people care all that much. I know it's the playoffs, but still. So it's like you have your nights where it's not as exciting to get to the TV to watch versus tonight. You have the two best series being played tonight. Now, not Cleveland and Toronto. That series, nobody cares about that series. Right. But tonight you've got the two best series, I think, in all of the playoffs, back-to-back, going to be on Prime. So, to me, it's almost a what's the more interesting nights versus, like, if you told me tonight was Orlando-Detroit and then Phoenix-Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah, no.
You're taking the NFL draft.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Different situation.
It's a much different vibe if you have to choose between those two things. But what tonight is the two best series.
Also, it's the series outside of the Blazers series that people here are interested in. If you have the Blazer goggles on and are thinking, oh, who are we going to play in the next round?
Oh, no, I think that's 100% accurate. So, I mean, it's already a good series because it's Jokic versus
It's already Zayac, a good series as it is, but then you're looking up ahead and you're like, oh, wait, we might be playing one of these guys in the next round, too. So I think that also kind of comes into effect tonight, too.
I think people are really going mentally, Brandon, with the, oh, my God, we really can do this. Now, you can say Blazer fans in general always operate that way.
Sure.
And that's true to some extent.
As every fan base, yeah.
I know some super big diehard and homers, right? Being the second biggest homer on the radio station, I can tell you, I perked up a little bit when that Wemby injury happens, and now, you know, he's doing cardio to process the concussion protocol stuff. I still don't think he plays on Friday, but certainly in a realm where you watch Minnesota-Denver now, and you're like, which matchup would we rather have?
Right.
And maybe it's probably a bit ridiculous in some ways because San Antonio blew a game, and they're still really good.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't help but go there a little bit when you know the best player in the series is potentially going to be out for a game, maybe two games, and it all being kind of up in the air because that's a brain injury. So we don't know how it's all going to go. So that's your restaurant neighborhood or your neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day. What will you watch more of, the NBA playoffs tonight or the NFL draft?
It's going to be close. I can see this being like a 55-45 vote happening on this one.
I think a lot of people would choose the playoffs, but right. I think overall, like, the NFL draft is going to get
it's 9 a big day.
Million people.
Yeah, especially the first round. It's a big day.
Is any playoff game going to get 9 million people to watch? No. And it looks like a—I mean, I'll say this about the NFL. I'm getting into the NFL draft more than I'm getting into the NBA. We'll get into the NBA playoffs, I promise. I'll say this about the NFL. So I was watching a lot of stuff yesterday, and all of the networks, they're stationed in Pittsburgh now. So, like, NFL Live is usually on at, like, 1 o'clock. They're in Pittsburgh. I'm watching the NFL Network, and if they're not doing studio stuff, they've got a crew on the ground in Pittsburgh. The best thing the NFL's done, I think, is have the traveling draft. I think it's so much cooler for fans to year in and year out say, oh, Pittsburgh. I've always wanted, it's random cities. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh isn't the top of the tourist list. But if you're a diehard NFL fan, you'd be like, yo, I've always wanted to kind of see the stadium, the city. I've heard good things about Pittsburgh. I'm going to go to Pittsburgh because that's where the NFL draft is. Or just even having the draft in your own freaking backyard. Could you imagine doing a radio show in Pittsburgh today?
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, guys, the draft's here. We're picking 21st, but it's really not about our pick. Yeah. It's more about, like, dude, we got the NFL draft here today. How many different fan bases? Remember the scene in Detroit? Detroit had like a million people in the hub area of their city where they were having the NFL draft. So, to me, it's more just the exciting part of the NFL draft now isn't so much just about the picks or the trades. That's awesome.
Oh, no, it's an event.
It's an event.
Yeah, it's like a concert.
It's like something that the Blazers, if they're going to actually, if they've turned the corner here and they're truly going to consistently be a playoff team, I'm not going to be able to do this, but I'm like out loud, I'm like, I want to go to a draft one year. Like, the Nashville one was one I was really interested in.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
I don't know what the next city is going to be. You should look that up. We should look that up, like, what the next NFL draft venue is. But if there is a – like, if they go to Seattle, I could see myself driving up after a show to just be around the spectacle of having an NFL draft and seeing what that's like to witness live. And then just, by the time the mid-first round is over, instead of just hanging for every pick, just catching the rest of it on radio and driving down and, being able to do the show the next day. I think that, to me, would be exciting. What are you going to watch more of, the NBA playoffs or the NFL draft? Let's talk about the actual NBA playoffs. We'll move on from the draft. We'll get into that later. Super exciting to have the NFL draft today. But let's get to the NBA playoffs. We've got the Pistons tying the series, and we've got an NBA superstar given a technical foul on the request of a role player. Very interesting development last night in the Phoenix Oklahoma City game. So we'll dive into that coming up next. The Blazers give us a dirty little tease yesterday. City's losing their mind. Is Dame Lillard coming back? I don't know, man. We got eyeball emojis. Do you use emojis a lot when you text?
Here and there. It's timely.
But, like, if you're to tell your wife or a family member or a friend something, or you notice something, do you send the wide-eyed emoji as like a teaser for it, knowing what that can cause and how that makes people feel?
I don't think that's my first go-to. Sometimes I do. I think it's usually like sports related when like something big happens.
Sure.
I'm like waiting for everyone else to kind of react to it in case I'm the one that's ahead of everybody else.
Yeah,
that's probably
the
only time I use it. But yeah, emojis are a very timely thing for me, so I prefer words, I guess.
I love the wide-eyed emoji. I think it's great. And they did it yesterday, so we'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour. The NBA playoffs were playoffing yesterday, and we'll get to the Pistons Magic stuff. But let's start with a very bizarre sequence of events that led to something that most people covering the team are saying, I've never seen him this angry. So you have Phoenix and Oklahoma City yesterday. And to their credit, Phoenix was hanging around. They were right within striking distance of Oklahoma City. Here we go. Okay, game's not awful. Well, then we get to third quarter. Things are starting to not go well. Devin Booker is going kind of by the sideline area. he gets bumped by Jalen Williams, and his momentum is taking him out of bounds. In an effort to save the ball from going out of bounds and having a turnover, Booker then throws the ball kind of backwards as if to, like, save it, right? Like, if you jump in and then you're trying to save the ball. And as he throws it backwards, the ball then hits Jalen Williams. Well, whistle blows. Booker kind of goes into the crowd a little bit, comes out. Everybody looks totally, like, Jalen Williams isn't really reacting. Devin Booker looks totally calm. The ref calls a foul on Jalen Williams. Body bump, boom, that's a foul. Alex Caruso comes running over to the ref, and he's like, call a technical because he threw the ball at Jalen Williams. And the ref looks at Caruso, looks at Booker, blows the whistle, and calls a tech on Devin Booker. Booker is like, what? He's like looking around. He's confused. He asks the ref. The ref is not telling him anything. And like for the first, you don't see this very often. It's one thing for a player to say, yo, you need to review this. That's a flagrant one, or maybe it's a flagrant. Yeah. Like, let's go check it out. You have a player telling a ref to blow the whistle for a technical foul because another player threw the ball backwards and hit his teammate with it, even though neither one of them responded as if it was intentional. And Devin Booker gets hit with a tech and never explained why he got a technical foul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this never happened. I just can't recall at the top of my head a player telling a ref he needs to call a technical on that other player, and the ref going, ah, you're right. Technical yeah. foul. Here's Devin Booker, and many writers talked about this in the postgame. Here is Devin Booker on the sequence of events, the explanation or no explanation on why he received the technical foul.
I still haven't got one. It's definitely something that has to be looked into. I heard Caruso tell him to call the tech, and, you know, he ended up doing it. So that's one ref. In my 11 years, I haven't called a ref out by name, but James was terrible tonight through and through. It's bad for the sport, bad for the integrity of the sport. You know, people are going to start viewing this as a WWE, you know, if they're not held responsible.
Yeah, so Devin Booker not very happy yesterday after Alex Caruso. And by the way, it's not gone well when you look at Phoenix. They're down 2-0 in this series. They're most certainly going to get swept. If Oklahoma City cares at all and even tries 50%, they can win the games on the road. It's the most uncompetitive series so far. They're losing by 35 points and 13 points in their first two games. They've committed 17 and 21 turnovers. They also can't stop SGA, who's, I think, going to win the MVP again back-to-back years. So it's been a very tough, I would say not even two games. I would say take the play-in, because I didn't think he played well at all. I didn't think he was aggressive in the play-in game against Portland. And, yeah, they beat the Warriors to get the 8th seed.
He didn't have a good game in the Warrior game either.
Whoop-de-freaking-D. Like
Jalen Green took over the play-in game.
Congratulations. You beat the Warriors, who are not good, just to get swept by the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right.
You count the play-ins, the first two games of this, and I would actually go like maybe the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the regular season. It's been a tough month for the old Phoenix Suns, and Devin Booker getting the technical foul, leading him to call out a ref by name in a postgame, I think just a cherry on top of the crap sandwich they're currently dealing with.
Right.
Just not good at all, man.
Yeah, I don't know. You were getting dealt a hard hand to begin with, honestly. Like, that's what the Blazers were avoiding in the first place with the plan, is that we didn't want to be stuck with the Thunder and be in the situation where we'd probably be in the same situation if it was Portland.
And we haven't been happy with the refs in our games. We won one of them.
The refs is just a hit or miss, honestly. It just depends on which staff you get and what the situation is. But it's bizarre for a referee to look convinced from a player that, oh yeah, I should probably do this. You see it sometimes with coaches doing that, but to take the agreement of a player, at least what it looked like, was bizarre. It was strange.
I found that, like, the NBA is probably going to end up fining him now because he's called out the ref by name.
Oh yeah, and he won't be the only one.
By the way, I think the free throws are dead even in the series.
Which is weird.
So, like,
which is crazy.
And weirdly, in our series, the San Antonio-Portland series, I think a lot of Blazer fans have hated the officiating in that those games, but also the Spurs players seem to be complaining the loudest. Like, they talked after game two. Well, okay, if Scoot's allowed to be physical, we're going to start being physical with him. De'Aaron Fox, you know, it'd be nice if we could get the calls they're getting. I believe the Spurs have shot more free throws than the Portland Trail Blazers.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah. So it's just, it's always odd how we all interpret officiating. On this specifically, I'm not always Mr. Defend a Phoenix Sun. Devin Booker is right, and this is a very bad look for the league. He's clearly just saving the ball. A foul is called, so they got that part right.
Right.
You can't have another player just come over and be like, hey, he threw that ball. My teammate, you need to give him a tech. Like, what?
What?
Yeah. First of all, Caruso being a little tattletale. Okay,
yeah.
We see that in the NBA. It's another for the official to respond and go, you're right. You're right. Yeah, here's a technical foul. So I think it's a bad look for the league. Devin Booker, I think, is right to call this out. He's not somebody that really has the reputation in the post game. Now, I know he likes to, you know, choose his spots in the regular season games, playoff games, to actually bring stuff up with officials. What star doesn't? But it's another to go and name a guy by name in the post game, and that's what's led Devin Booker to this. Is that's just not something you see very often in the NBA. The other team telling the ref to call a technical, and the ref going, "You're right, I'm going to do that," and giving him the old T. So not a good look, I think, for the NBA last night. The Phoenix Suns are going to get swept. Nobody cares about that series. We don't need to dive into it. There is nothing to dive into anyway. One team is probably going to win the title again. The other team, barely a playoff team. But not a good look for the league, I think, last night, calling that technical foul.
No, but I think also in the Suns' position and Devin Booker, when you're dealing with a series where you know you're out, you're going to be outperformed for majority of the series and things are not going well, the natural reaction is to blame the refs. And in this case, I stand by what he said. And it's not like he's, like, trying to outcry, hey, fix this, or this shouldn't have happened, but... You know, when you're down 0-2 and you haven't looked good, basically, in your four playoff games up to this point, you're going to blame the refs as part of, oh, this is why we're not doing so well.
They have lost 8 straight playoff games with an average margin of defeat of 19 points. That's what Phoenix is currently on.
Yeah.
So it's
tough go.
It's been a little bit of a struggle bus for the Phoenix Suns. They're going to get swept. That's the series just. Man, I don't think anybody in Phoenix cares. If you're in Phoenix today, if we were doing a radio show in Phoenix this morning, I'd be all over the NFL draft. We have the 3rd pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. We might be taking Jeremiah Love. We might be trading back. Like, the Suns are not a topic. What is there to talk about? Hey, man, they fought harder than they did in game one when they lost by 30. They only lost by 13. Like, this is the story from the series. Devin Booker getting a technical foul when Oklahoma City asks the ref to blow one on him. Other than that, Phoenix is just completely irrelevant, and that series is terrible. We did have a tied series in the game before that, so we'll touch on that one a little bit. Detroit, are they in trouble? A takeaway maybe from that game after the first two in Detroit. We'll talk a little more NBA playoffs, and we'll get to the Dame Lillard tease at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more. 6:45 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. All right, happy Thursday. Welcome back in. The Fan text line's 503-864-6326. No Andy Dirtay today. He is out. He's got the little bug. Teddy ball games, licking everything in his house and outside of it, and then giving him the germs. He says he'll be back tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see on that one. We'll have to wait and see. I don't think the Brandons are convinced. I think if we were to open this thing up from a Vegas standpoint, it's a -110 that he's out, and it's a +100 that he's in. So it's a close margin, but I think the favorite here is that he is not going to be in tomorrow.
Like I said, going to take a lot of DayQuil and sleep to turn around and be back tomorrow after what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, it looked pretty awful when he left here. I was like, just get out. Can you not be near me? I just don't want what you have. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll be all right. We got a lot to talk about.
Did you wipe down everything in there when you got in, just in case?
Here's the thing is, he has his own station.
I hope
Danny and Sakanik did, because if they didn't, I'm worried they're going to catch what he has.
Yeah.
I'm like 8 feet away from him. I'm good. Like, we got enough space. I'm all right here.
Just that door handle as you walked in, though.
Oh, dude, get out of here. We got a Dame Lillard tease yesterday on the socials. We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour. Ryan Clark's going to join us at 7:30. Ducks got the number one quarterback in the 2027 class, Will Mensel. And we'll talk with Ryan Clark about that. And we got the spring football game this weekend. So Ryan Clark will hop on at 7:30. It's NFL draft day. Poll questions up. Your neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day. What will you watch more of, NBA playoffs or the NFL draft? One of our listeners, Andrew, says, listen to Mel Kiper complain about teams going against his own opinions and 860th mock draft order, or watch actual athletes play a game. Easy choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's not act like we're not interested in that drama in the draft.
That's entertaining.
Last year was really funny. I'd forgotten how crazy Mel Kiper got about Shedeur Sanders.
Yes.
So what will we get this year? I don't know. I mean, is it Reuben Bain falling?
Yeah, but Shedeur was a saga in itself. I don't think we're going to have that topped for a couple drafts.
That also, I think his slide wasn't just first round. It was like over the weekend. It was like the second round, and he was third round even, and Kiper was losing his mind.
Yep.
It was like, what's going on here? Like, all right, dude, calm down, eat some pumpkin pie. You'll be all right. We'll get to the Blazers coming up at the top of the hour. So the Pistons were tied with the Magic at 46 at the half. Reportedly, they had a player-only meeting. Like, instead of the coaches coming in and doing, like, you know, any kind of adjustments, the players were just having, like, hey, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, like, calling each other out. And it worked. They came out in the second half, and they opened the second half on a 30-3 run. And they pull away from the Magic. That game was basically over after that run. The final score is a little misleading. It wasn't a 15-point loss. It was like a 20-plus point loss, masked up with a 15-point loss. So now we go back to Orlando, tied at one. It's not a series I think is very sexy. Detroit style of play is like, hey, Cade Cunningham, do good stuff. And then they just are like a bunch of scrappy guys who, you know, they're not the greatest shooting team. Who is their second best playmaker, right? Like, it's a very interesting team. It's the reason I don't think they get to these finals is the shortcomings you've seen in this series already. Meanwhile, on the other side, Orlando's been nothing but disappointing all year. Desmond Bane's been good, but now they need Paolo to play better than he did in the regular season, and they've got Franz, who's capable of being an absolute bucket getter. I didn't think they played particularly well. In fact, the best player in this series so far from a two-game sample size has maybe been Jalen Suggs for Orlando. So they're going back to Orlando. It's not the most interesting matchup in the playoffs, but it's a 1-8, and it's tied at 1-1 going back to the 8 seeds arena. Do you think Detroit found themselves last night, or do you think that this series still think is going to be like a real back-and-forth, we're going to go past 5-game situation?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the change of scenery affects Detroit, because when you're on a roll like that at home, you know, you're going to beat pretty much everybody, especially when you've won 60 plus games. But I don't think I don't think Orlando has been overmatched as people expected.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a trend in the East where, you know, you've got these play-in teams coming out of the play-in and they're giving top seeds trouble. We've seen it with the Heat.
Yep.
Multiple times.
Philadelphia just beat Boston.
Yeah,
and Boston.
Philly is the
That's
same.
A play-in
Philly
team
is
as
the
well.
Same way. Both play-in teams are playing, given the top seeds tough. And that just shows how the Eastern Conference is so way more wide open than the West.
Yeah, are we poo-pooing? Maybe we're poo-pooing the bottom East versus top of the East a little too much. Like, I completely dismiss Philly and Boston. I still think Boston's going to win that series in relatively, you know, quick fashion. This one's interesting to me because that's a hell of a run, and maybe that's what awakens Detroit to play how they played in the regular season.
Right.
But if Paolo gets it going and Franz, you know, doesn't have a miserable night from the field, we know Desmond Bane can give him 25. Jalen Suggs is playing really confident basketball. Like, all you need is those two dudes to wake up and have 23 and 27, and you're in a different series.
Right.
So, like, yeah, yesterday's run was crazy to see. 33 run is nuts.
Yeah.
But I still take away from the two games, I think Orlando should feel good. In fact, I think we come back to Detroit tied at 2-2. I think that's where this series is going to go. Six-game series, seven-game series, I don't know. But Orlando's got a shot here, man. And that's not just saying because they won game one. That was a close game. That first half was super uncomfortable. It was a low-scoring, ugly game, throwback to the 90s.
Yep.
And they were tied at halftime. So a 33 run's not something you can bank on. I think it's going to be a 2-2 series when they come back to Detroit. But I understand also Orlando and Detroit isn't the most exciting thing for a lot of people out here.
No, it's, I mean, it was probably, I remember being pretty low on your series rankings coming into the first round.
I would readjust that a little bit.
Just a touch.
You give me a close series and a 1-8. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's definitely a tighter series than expected going
no
in.
Doubt.
And I agree that Orlando has playmakers and has stars that if they can get going in Orlando and get kind of a momentum in either game three or game four,
they have more shot
creators. All you got to do is steal game five and you got a 7-game series.
Yeah.
So or just hold serve at home. And it's kind of that situation when you're the underdog. If you can just get the momentum when you have those home games in game three and four, Portland, for example, coming in on Friday and Sunday, if you get that momentum, then you're making it a lot. You're putting the pressure right back on that top seed. And then it gets a little more spicy as you get to game five and game six, which I can see that going with this series too.
Yeah. We have a loaded second hour to get to. Is Dame Lillard coming back for Portland in the playoffs? A little teaser yesterday. We'll kick off hour two on 105.1 The Fan with that.